From the KSFR newsroom, at noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Friday, July 26th. Eight of the state's 15 providers of mental health and substance abuse services in New Mexico, whose funds were cut off after an audit revealed possible Medicaid fraud, have been denied a restart of payments. A federal court has ruled that they failed to meet the standards for financial relief. The state's Human Services Department ordered payment freezes back in late June when an audit by Optum Health Incorporated, the umbrella organization overseeing state mental health care, indicated a possible $36 million in improper billing to Medicaid. The matter is now under investigation by the Attorney General's office. Meanwhile, an agreement has been reached among state officials that will allow State Auditor Hector Balderas to see the Human Services Department's documents. HSD had initially denied Balderas' request and defied a court order to comply, saying the handover could jeopardize the investigation. Balderas countered that it was his office's duty to review them. The state auditor has now given assurances that he will keep the documents classified. Anti-abortion activists have succeeded in acquiring some 27,000 signatures for putting an abortion restriction measure on Albuquerque's October 8th municipal election ballot. Today's Albuquerque Journal says the group's latest submission of signatures puts them at well more than double the number needed. The measure would ban abortion after 20 weeks, mirroring a new Texas law that does the same. The activists say a Duke City law is needed, lest women from Texas now attempt to have the procedure performed here in New Mexico. UNM Hospitals has received high marks for its equitable and inclusive services provided to New Mexico's LGBT community. In the most recent annual survey conducted by the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, UNM has been praised for its non-discrimination policies for LGBT patients and employees, their guarantee of equal visitation for same-sex partners and parents, and LGBT health education for key staff members. Next Tuesday, the Santa Fe County Board of Commissioners will give consideration to a resolution calling for support of same-sex marriage in New Mexico. The proposal also urges the state legislature to make necessary and appropriate amendments to the state's domestic affairs laws, without which there may be violations of the Equal Protection Clause of the state constitution. The resolution is seen as a companion to actions earlier this year at Santa Fe City Hall and is being carried by County Commissioner Liz Stefanics. The city of Santa Fe is proudly pointing to being named on Kiplinger's Personal Finances list of 10 Great Places to Live for 2013. The rankings considered metro areas with a population of 1 million or less on criteria of available jobs, reasonably priced homes, decent schools, and access to health care. Kiplinger's editor says Santa Fe is among those municipalities with a manageable size, combined with a wide range of benefits that allow residents to enjoy a convenient and comfortable lifestyle. Former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson has traveled to Washington, D.C., asking U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack to prevent an opening of Roswell's Valley Meat Company's equine slaughterhouse. Richardson, along with actor-activist Robert Redford, recently created an animal protection foundation opposed to commercial horse slaughtering operations. Richardson reports that Secretary Vilsack personally opposes the matter, but is bound by federal rules. The USDA has recently given its final approvals for the Roswell facility, but other actions by state officials have delayed its opening. Santa Fe Mayor David Koss, City Councilor Patty Boucher, and State Land Commissioner Ray Powell, together with city leaders in other states, have signed a statement calling for action toward improved conservation of Colorado River waters. Several of the river's tributaries flow through our state, providing over 1 million New Mexicans with drinking water. A recent U.S. Bureau of Reclamation study projects future shortfalls of millions of acre feet due to climate change and increased water demands. Santa Fe's Spanish Market, one of our city's summertime hallmarks, takes place this weekend. This year is the 62nd annual edition of the event, with hundreds of artists presenting their wares on the plaza Saturday and Sunday. It's the oldest and largest juried Spanish market in the U.S. and attracts over 70,000 visitors and collectors from around the world. At the peak of last night's thunderstorm across Santa Fe, PNM reported that some 10,000 customers were without power for a time. The utility reported today that virtually all those affected are now back online. Lightning also put thousands of Duke City residents in the dark as well. Scores of customers are still suffering with scattered outages there at this hour, as crews work to restore power by early afternoon. And weather for Santa Fe, partly sunny today with a high near 80 degrees and a 30% chance for scattered showers. By evening, a 60% chance for thunderstorms. Saturday sees a 50% chance for more precipitation with highs in the upper 70s. Meanwhile, the current Santa Fe temperature now 75 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. At noon, we'll continue in just a moment.
Santa Fe psychologist Dr. Penelope Penland is pleased to help present KSFR programming. Dr. Penland's diverse practice fosters the emergence of each person's authentic self in all domains of life. Like KSFR, she strives for thoughtful and independent inquiry to foster individual freedom and responsibility in the context of community. Dr. Penelope Penland, 983-3990.
Jim Hightower returns to Santa Fe on August 24th in a benefit for KSFR. Join us on Saturday the 24th for a talk and reception at Museum Hill Cafe starting at 5:30. Tickets are $35 and proceeds benefit the station. To reserve your seat, visit us online at ksfr.org or call 428-1527. That's 428-1527 for an evening with Jim Hightower on August 24th at the Museum Hill Cafe. And you can now catch Hightower's commentaries on KSFR weekday afternoons right before Democracy Now!
13 minutes past the hour here at KSFR as At Noon segues to today's feature stories. Traditionally, in a number of cultures, the treatment of illness has been handled by curanderos, or folk healers. They're found throughout the world, and several practice here in New Mexico. Now, the University of New Mexico is sponsoring a conference on the subject. Cheo Torres is one of the organizers of the event, and he joins us now. Mr. Torres, tell us about this conference at UNM.
Well, it's more than a conference. It's actually a class. It's a credit class, and it's cross-listed with several departments, including anthropology, language literacy, and sociocultural studies, and others. And people from the community can take it through continuing education for no credit or for units. So classes going on for 13 years. It started with about 30, 40 students. Now we're at 250 students or so. It's grown. And the first week of the class, we have local healers from throughout New Mexico and sometimes from other parts. And the second week, we have Mexican healers. And this year, we invited a couple of African countries represented. So we have healers from Uganda and a well-known healer from Gabon, Western Africa. It's a two-week course. It's all morning from 8 till almost 1 o'clock.
And what do the students get from the meeting?
Well, they walk away with three-hour credits or units or just the satisfaction that they know more about the topic than they did before. Most people really enjoy the course. They learn a lot. They understand some of the plants their grandmothers used, some of the rituals that have been used for centuries. So people walk away with a wonderful satisfaction. If that wasn't so, we wouldn't bring people from New York and California and Texas and other states. We do have quite a mixture of people from out of state also.
Is the ability to heal a talent someone is born with, or can it be taught?
I don't believe that people are born with a gift. They have to be trained. It doesn't come from the heavens or osmosis. You've got to train. And even those that have the gift or believe they have the gift or train under a family member or another curandero, the people that come here from Mexico are well-trained curanderos. In fact, some of them are instructors at a holistic school for curanderos. It's more of a naturopathic school. They learn not only the art of preparing herbs and tincture forming cells and ointments, but they also learn about acupuncture, reflexology, Ayurvedic medicine. They learn a lot about different modalities of alternative or integrated medicine is what we're referring to now. So anyway, they're well prepared.
Curanderos have always been popular in New Mexico, have they not?
They have, especially the parteras, the midwives. For many years, they played an important role in New Mexico delivering babies and also prescribing plants and massage therapy and what have you, the traditional way. So, yeah, they've been very important. There's still a few in New Mexico, but not as many, of course, as there were. Very, very, very few. But I'm beginning to see a new type of curandero now, a curandero that has another profession, and they want to incorporate this into their practices.
As society has changed, have the practices of curanderos changed?
It's evolving, and it's changing. It's not the traditional curandero from past years. They were very good, but they learned from somebody else. Now the curanderos are truly looking at research on certain plants and trying to incorporate other forms of alternative or integrated medicine into their practices. So it's like everything else. It's changing. But I think it's changing for the better, to be honest with you.
How can people get more information on the course being offered at the university?
My nickname is Cheo, C-H-E-O, at UNM.edu. Cheo at UNM.edu. Or call me. My office number is 505-277-0952.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I think they can work very closely together with allopathic medicine and modern medicine and traditional medicine working together. The Chinese have done this for years. And I think we're beginning to realize well-trained curanderos can play an important role, providing services to a part of our community that's in need of services.
J.O. Torres of the University of New Mexico, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR. And we'll have more of At Noon for you in just a moment.
Support comes from the Santa Fe Farmers Market, providing fresh, locally grown food to our community. The Farmers Market is now open every Saturday and Tuesday from 7 a.m. to noon in the rail yard. The Southside Market takes place on Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 6 at the Santa Fe Place Mall parking lot, Zaffarano entrance. On Sundays from 10 to 4, the market hosts the Rail Yard Artisans Market, featuring fine arts and crafts, food, music, and more. To learn more, visit SantaFeFarmersMarket.com.
1218 here at KSFR as At Noon continues. Santa Fe Community College is offering some new certificate programs as well as degrees in the arts and leadership. Margaret Peters is the Dean of the School of Liberal Arts at SFCC and joins us now. Margaret, tell us about some of these programs.
Some of our new certificates in the arts include arts foundation, ceramics, gallery management, jewelry and metal arts. We also have fine arts photography and commercial photography, sculpture and drawing and painting, and these join other certificates that we have already in the arts to include fashion design and fine woodworking and architectural design, interior design. These certificates are a wonderful way for students to gain some marketable skills that will help them in the workplace. They're also... They neatly nest into our associate degree so that if a student takes the coursework and a certificate, receive that certificate and decides that he or she wants to continue in the program, then they can take those courses, apply them toward an associate's degree, and continue their course of study.
And what about the certificate in leadership?
The leadership certificate teaches communication, negotiation, and conflict resolution skills. These skills are incredibly valuable to employers. We have heard at the community college from our stakeholders in the community that they are looking for students with these leadership skills, and we're very excited to be able to offer this new certificate.
And it costs less to get a certificate than a degree, does it not?
It does indeed. Our certificates, all of our certificates at the community college are under 30 credit hours. And an associate's degree is anywhere from 62 credit hours and up.
Do a number of Santa Fe Community College students choose just to get a certificate and forego pursuit of a degree?
We have both. We have a lot of students who come to learn about different programs, find out what they're interested in, and at the same time gain marketable skills. They'll go out into the workforce The certificates are also good for people who want additional training for a job that they're already in or one that they're applying for. People recognize the value of a certificate. It means you've had more training. We also have students who are already educators or art instructors, managers, and they can upgrade their skill set or infuse new energy into the classroom or at work.
And registration is open now, correct?
Well, registration is ongoing, and it's easy. You just go to our website at sfcc.edu, and if you need assistance, please come to campus or call our Welcome Advising Center at 428-1270.
And anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
Well, we're just looking forward to the beginning of the fall semester, and we're looking forward to having all our students back on campus after their summer session, and hope that students will be interested in these certificates as well as some of the other certificates that we have in liberal arts and arts design and media arts. Don't forget that we have media arts certificate with concentrations in audio production, graphic and interactive design, and web design. We have a certificate of academic transfer, which is really built to give students the basics that will, get them ready for an associate's degree and then hopefully prepare them to transfer to a four-year institution. We have a certificate in creative writing as well as a certificate in traumatic stress aid, which nests very neatly into our human services degree.
Margaret Peters, Dean of the School of Liberal Arts at Santa Fe Community College. Many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
KSFR brings you another great night of jazz with vocalist Barbara Bentry and John Rangel piano, Andy Zadrozny bass, and John Trenacosta on drums. Wednesday, July 31st at the Museum Hill Cafe beginning at 7. Get your tickets online at ksfr.org or by calling 428-1527. That's 428-1527 for an evening with Barbara Bentry at Museum Hill Cafe on July 31st.
Current downtown Santa Fe temperature at 1223 is 75 degrees, on its way to a high near 80, and a 50% chance for thundershowers later this afternoon. This week, the Los Alamos National Lab is celebrating its 70th anniversary with some special events. Joining us now is my KSFR News colleague, Charles Maynard. He files this report.
To celebrate the Los Alamos National Lab's 70th anniversary, a series of lectures about the history of the facility, as well as some tours onto lab property, were offered this week. Ellen McGee is the historic building manager for the lab and explains that one of the tour highlights was known as the Tunnel Vault.
Well, we did give a media tour this week, and we're showing off the, we call it the TA-41 Tunnel Vault. It's actually, it's more than just a set of safes back in the hillside. It's actually a facility, a hardened concrete facility that goes about 230 feet back into the north side of Los Alamos Canyon, and it's about 6,000 square feet in size. It's quite large. Well, it's actually built with reinforced concrete, so when you're inside, it's kind of a the walls are gray, they're unpainted, it's reformed concrete, and at this point there really isn't anything in the long tunnel area. The most interesting features are located in the very back of the tunnel. There's a small side room as you go partway down on the left, but at the very, very end there is a large bank vault room, and inside that bank vault are five additional smaller bank vault rooms.
The nuclear weapons themselves were not stored in the tunnels.
You know, as it was originally designed, the Los Alamos needed a place to securely store some of the earliest pits or cores that were being used in the very first nuclear stockpile. So if you think about the history of Los Alamos, most people think about the Manhattan Project, and they know that story of how the first weapons were developed at Los Alamos and then used during World War II, basically exploded over Japan.
The end of World War II did not mean the end of the need for the lab or its facilities.
Pretty much immediately after the end of World War II, the laboratory was gearing up to become a more permanent facility,
and was actually starting to support the Cold War. I mean, the Cold War essentially started right after the end of World War II, and as because of that, Los Alamos was the only facility in the country that had the facilities to produce the weapons grade, the final materials that were used, so like the final pits and other components that were used in that earliest Cold War stockpile. But they really needed a safe place to store it before other similar types of vault facilities could be built in the country. We needed one here in Los Alamos.
The vaults are no longer being used today.
It's actually pretty much completely empty. The only things that are sort of the remnants of that that storage role that it had are these bank vault rooms and the bank vault doors, which are really impressive. I'm sure some of the videos that are out there, there's actually a Lanel issued YouTube video. It shows the architecture of the vault system, and these are deep-old bank vault doors. They're beautiful, actually, works of art, I think, that's a really neat facility, but the bank vaults are currently empty.
Ellen McGee of the Los Alamos National Laboratory. For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
Ebullient mezzo-soprano Susan Graham performs a title role of Jacques Offenbach's riotously funny The Grand Duchess of Gerolstein this summer at the Santa Fe Opera. All's fair in love and war games at the Gerolstein Military Academy, with its dashing uniformed cadets and apple-cheeked local sweethearts cheering them on, with the Academy's patroness, the Grand Duchess herself, in sexy pursuit. Far from being a lady of a certain age, this Grand Duchess is an amorous aristocrat with an eye for Fritz, her favorite young cadet, sung by the dynamic American tenor Paul Appleby. Soprano Anya Matanovic completes the love triangle. Emmanuel Vuillaume conducts. The Santa Fe Opera's Grand Duchess of Gerolstein promises lots of laughter and fun. Learn more about this production and the entire upcoming season by visiting santafeopera.com or by calling 800-280-4654. That's 800-280-4654. This message is sponsored by the Santa Fe Opera, a tax-exempt organization.
12:29 here in the KSFR newsroom. As is our custom on the approach of the bottom of the hour, it's time to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I'd been at Whole Foods spending too much on stuff that in reality wasn't going to extend my life by 1 millisecond, but I tried to be hopeful. I got out to my car and the trunk was half open. A phrase having to do with procreation popped into my mind, followed by somebody broke into my car. Such was not the case. The trunk was open because of a more mundane reason, operator error. It was a new car and I hadn't properly closed the trunk. I quickly and nervously checked the trunk to see what was missing. Well, shut my mouth, as opposed to the trunk. Kudos to the shoppers and employees of Whole Foods. With all the people walking by my open trunk, everything seemed to be there. What did my checklist include? There were the sure-to-be winning lottery tickets. They weren't. A 35mm digital camera, a 6-inch hunting knife, a regular-sized machete, you never know when you'll need one of those, and a 9mm handgun. And you thought all those stories about me being a mercenary were just stories. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with thanks to my contributing colleague today, Charles Maynard. We'll start fresh for you on Monday with more news of and for New Mexico, and as always, we hope you join us.